In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, often there are things that trouble us, whether they're physical or mental or spiritual, that have causes that are not immediately apparent to us. Oftentimes we're proud, and our pride makes us angry, and we think our anger is over a certain thing, a certain person, but it's really because our pride is goading us on. There's an example. There are many, many other examples as well. And here is the greatest example that the Lord gives us. And we had best listen to it very, very carefully. He says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single or whole, healthy, sound, thy whole body shall be filled with light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness." He goes on to describe that darkness and how you cannot serve God and mammon, God and money, which can be extended to God and anything. And then he goes on to say, take no thought for your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Observe the lilies of the field, etc. This juxtaposition of saying, don't worry about what happens in your life. God will provide for you, with him saying just previously that the eye is the light of the body. It's very, very important. Now, with the eye we see, and then we desire. Sometimes it's in our mind's eye, not with our physical eye, but we desire something, whether it be prestige or comfort or entertainment or whatever else that our soul reaches out for that it's not godly and it's not expedient for us to have and to wish for. Also, of course, the physical eye looks upon things and desires them. Goods, people, etc. So the things we desire directly impact whether or not we are anxious. Now we're in a day and age when just about everybody's anxious. Perhaps half the population is taking some sort of anti-anxiety medication. Probably easily that, if you count alcohol and cigarettes and illicit drugs, as well as the tranquilizers and other psychoactive drugs that are prescribed. Probably way more than half. We're a society filled with anxiety. So you have to ask yourself when you suffer from anxiety, why are you anxious? The answer is always, it's always lack of faith, lack of focus, lack of desire to follow God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. Your eye is not sound. That which you desire is not sound. So if you desire things that are worldly, then you will suffer from anxiety. That's just a fact. That is a fact of human existence, a fact of the human organism. That if you have thoughts and desires which are not in accord with the kingdom, that you will have anxiety, you will be unhappy, you will feel unfulfilled, and there will be other ancillary effects such as having pride, rages, anger, etc., dissatisfaction with life. All this comes from the eye desiring that which it should not desire. Now, we also live in an age where the desires of the eye, both literally and, of course, of the soul, are put as paramount. They're more important than anything else. That's the entire justification nowadays for instance, homosexual marriage. There are those that desire. They should be allowed to have their desire. And the government should pay for the desire. And it goes on and on. We live in an age where if you desire, it's considered you should fulfill your desire. Many people define their life, the meaning of their life, as fulfilling their desires, to be happy, whatever that means to them. But I tell you, the only way to truly be happy, to truly have light in your soul, is for your eye to learn to want the things that are good and to not want the things that are bad. It's as simple as that. This is why we have commandments, not because the Lord wants to keep us from pleasure, but because drowning ourselves in pleasure deadens the soul and kills it and brings about all these other things, these anxieties and even many illnesses of the body from our bad desires. Now, when I read this, every time now, it resonates with me that if the eye is the light of the body, which means desire, if what I desire determines whether there is light in me or darkness, and therefore determines whether or not I will feel happy or sad or fulfilled or unfulfilled, or whether I will be at peace or be anxious, then the big question is, how do I teach my eye to desire that which is good? It's not immediately apparent. And many of you desire things and want things that are not good and that are causing effects in your life that you're completely unaware of. You have to learn to become aware of the spiritual things. And this is where we must train our eye. This is why, for instance, why fasting is so critically important. If you do not fast, or you fast haphazardly or according to convenience, you're cheating yourself of training your eye. And if you train your eye, your desire, then you will be happy in everything in life. And fasting is really an easy thing to do compared to the other ways in which we must train our eye. Because we must train our eye not to desire vainglorious things, not to desire to put ourselves above another person, not to judge others according to what we see. Those are very hard things to do. It's easy comparatively to fast from certain foods on certain days. And if you do so, you're training your eye, you're training your desire to desire that which is holy, that which is good. It's not that it's some sort of law that's been imposed without any sense to it whatsoever. It is because human nature must bridle its desires, or else they'll run away, dragging the soul behind it as if stuck in the stirrup, and a galloping wild horse is carrying us away while we're bumping along the ground. Very, very important, this connection between the eye and anxiety. It's probably not immediately apparent to some of you, but it's absolutely critical to learn to control your desires. Not because things are bad inherently. Pleasure is not a sin. To seek pleasure above God is always a sin. And there are many pleasures that we seek that we don't really perceive as such. Our pleasure in being lazy, in doing things that are fruitless, wasting time instead of praying, instead of reading the scriptures, instead of finding some way to be good and do something good for someone else. Those are sort of the hidden pleasures that we don't notice about ourselves. Now, everybody knows, if you're at all a balanced person, that there are certain things that you have a predilection to liking that are definitely not good for you and not good and are not allowed, you know? Sexual desire would be one of those. It's a rare person that does not have some battle with sexual desire, knowing that there is licit and illicit sexual desire. And that when you have illicit sexual desire, you're aware of it generally. And you try to fight it off, hopefully. Now, of course, if you fight it off on a regular basis, then it's a lot easier to fight the next time that you're tempted to think or even to do something that's not sexually proper, to fight that off. But if you don't fight off those desires regularly, then you become addicted. That's why in our day and age, we have an absolute raging addiction to pornography. It's everywhere. I read somewhere that 50% of searches on search engines are for pornographic things. So it's everywhere. And what it is a desire which has not been bridled, and a desire which takes over the person. Now that's an obvious thing. A person who's addicted to pornography generally knows it, generally feels shame about it, and a lack of control over it. But there are other things that you desire that are not so obvious, that are also very destructive to your soul. Like I said, a desire for ease, a desire for comfort, a desire for entertainments. And if you don't learn to turn your desires towards God and bridle your desires away from things that are not fruitful, that are not expedient, as St. Paul says, then you will suffer. You will suffer from anxiety and from other sins and from other weaknesses that are related to you desiring things in an incorrect way. That's why oftentimes when I tell you about fighting against thoughts, I always include priorities. Now, priorities are not technically discrete thoughts. Some people have a priority, let's say, for instance, to be successful in business. It's a very important thing to their life, and they dedicate much of their life to it, and other things they don't dedicate themselves to because there's not enough time, because they fill their time with desiring to be good in business. Now, they're not thinking discreetly every day, I value my business. I value the prestige I get from success. I value the corner office. I value the travel and all the other things associated with business above God. They're not thinking those thoughts. But their priorities are so out of whack that they are going down the wrong direction, often without even understanding it or realizing it. And then the anxieties that come about from seeking worldly glory, worldly honor, are always around them. So probably, in fact, I think absolutely, all of us suffer from anxiety. If you were to take a room of 100 people and ask, do they suffer from anxiety? 90 would say yes, and 10 would be liars. Because we all suffer from anxiety. Because we all have weak faith. Now here is the instruction from the Lord, not in so many words, because he doesn't do it that way. He doesn't make instructions absolutely explicit except in a few cases. This is something for the eye, those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, to understand. This is his instruction, how to be free of anxiety, how to be truly happy, how to truly feel fulfilled and be at peace in your life. Learn to control what your eye desires. Very, very important. And it cannot be done except with study, with application, with effort. Now, most of that study will be in how we live, in what we do every day. Are we struggling to say our prayers even when we don't want to? Are we trying to make our schedule of the day such that important things are getting done? The most important things are that you pray to God with all of your heart today. If you don't do that today, then today was not a good day. And that something in this day teaches you about God and brings you closer to God. If that does not happen this day, then this day was not a good day, no matter what other things happened. We must learn to struggle for those things, not because of any kind of legalism. Many of you are very legalistic. I got to do this or else I get in trouble. It's not about that. It's not about following all the rules. It's about learning to desire God. And in desiring God, you have no desire for anything that is not God. You must learn to control your eye, control your desire. That's the major teaching that the Lord is giving here. But as I said, he doesn't say it in so many words. There's a therefore in the text. Basically, he says things about the eye, and he says, therefore, don't worry about things in the world, but you have to piece it together. Explicitly, what he is saying is this. If your desires are not according to godly things, you will suffer. You will suffer from anxiety. You will suffer from other sins and weaknesses. And your life will not be full. And you will be like those in the parable that bear little fruit or none at all. So learn to control your eye, brothers and sisters. It's very important. Of course, I've told you all the things that you can be doing. You should know them. The reading of the scriptures, the fasting, the coming to the services, prayer, struggling to do good works for your brother, especially your brother that you don't like so much, that you have difficulties with. All those things teach your desire to turn towards God and away from ungodly things. It's very, very important. May God help you to have your eye desire only that which is good. And if you learn to do that, then you will not have anxiety. You won't need pills for anxiety. You won't need psychotherapy for anxiety. You won't need entertainments to take your mind off your anxiety. You will have God in your heart, and all will be well if you control your eye. May God help us to do this. Amen.